What up, everybody? How's it going? It is episode 175 of the Unknown Games Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian. We are down a co-host today. Ehe is unfortunately not feeling well, so we wish him the best. But we do have my co-host, as always, the number one, the game duck himself, Alex. What's up, man?
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh my God, bro! Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea how much I.
What's up?
I was gonna ask. So I remember that actually at the very beginning of last week's episode, and I thought it was just like a short clip.
That's only halfway. It's only halfway done. That's only half.
I was like, yeah. What the heck is this even? What is this dude actually doing in that video?
What's he doing in the video? It's funny. No, it's a ProZD video, so Song Won Cho, right? His YouTube channel. He's a voice actor. I don't know if you didn't know that, but he does like weird skits, and there was a joke of like no one on Twitter uses hashtags like they do on Tumblr, where they would just put random words and stuff, and then that's what he was reading. He was reading hashtags. That's really funny.
Gosh.
Anyways.
We're here. It's been kind of, I think there's supposed to be a typhoon coming this weekend is what
I heard. There's two typhoons coming, baby. I don't know if you noticed. Did you see the news?
No. So the weird thing is for the
by two, I mean the same typhoon, but twice, but yeah.
Oh, but twice. Jeez. It's coming back for more.
Did you not hear it? See the news recently? So basically a typhoon has come.
Is that what happened yesterday or something?
No, it already hit. Like a couple of days ago, this typhoon hit Okinawa and it like went straight. Then it started to curve. It's coming around. It's hitting Okinawa twice.
Oh my gosh! That's horrible. But that's. I mean, hopefully they're okay because it shouldn't gain too much more strength. I guess
turn back around. Well, I don't know what's happening really, but I mean, typhoons in Japan are very common occurrence. Yeah. Honestly, some people, I used to get messages from people, from friends and stuff.
Are you okay?
Are you okay? Just having, yeah, it's just really rainy and windy. I'm okay. It's fine.
We're okay.
But no, so Okinawa got hit twice by the same typhoon, which is, I don't even know how that happens, honestly. But yeah, we're getting a little rain in Tokyo, I think, starting this week, right?
Okay. Yeah, my phone, for whatever reason, for like a whole 2 weeks is giving me just continuous warning of A, be careful of the heat, and B,
because it's hot as balls.
It's so hot. And the other one was just like for typhoon, and then there was like every once in a while a tornado warning would appear, and I'm like,
that's very strange.
Is this just all for this area?
Climate change. Yeah. Now I'm looking at the Tinky.jp, which is our version of the weather network. Essentially, the typhoon is going straight across Okinawa, and it's kind of missing all of Honshu, the main island of Japan.
Okay.
But we're just getting residual rain because typhoons are really big, right? So
yeah, and they mess up the surrounding area for the weather patterns. I mean, this weekend we've got the Pokemon World. I actually should say this the proper way: the Pokemon World Championships. There we go. I call it Pokemon Worlds, but that's League of Legends Worlds. But the World Championships are happening this weekend, from August the 11th. Through the 13th in Yokohama, and I was like, this should be pretty cool to try to go to. And I'm like, nah, man, probably gonna be so many people there, and it's gonna be so hot, and it's gonna be hell.
It will be so hot. I always say this to people, I want to come to Japan, I want to visit Japan, and I'm like, that's cool, you should totally do it, you know. I like Japan, I liked it enough to move here, but I mean, don't come in summer. It's so bad, it's so uncomfortable.
I will say this summer has been a little bit different in terms of after it's rained, it hasn't just gotten completely horrible humid. It's like actually cooled down, which has been, I think, the biggest change. But yeah, during the day, it's definitely been, I would say, less humid, but with a little bit more actual heat compared to some previous years. Like some years, it's just like crazy humidity and like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. It's like, as a Canadian native, it's like the shittiest season of all. It's so bad. It's just like it's so uncomfortable. Like I was out yesterday actually, and also I was out the week before, the Sunday prior as well. And it's just like in the afternoon, like anywhere between 12 p.m. and probably up until like 3:30, 4 p.m. It's just like the worst heat ever. It's so
that time of day, just
yeah, it's unbearably hot. It's just savage. I usually wear a shoulder bag, so I sometimes wear a backpack depending on what I'm carrying that day. But since I wear a shoulder bag, there's the part that goes across your chest, right?
Right,
The strap goes across your chest.
Do you have that strap mark? The sweat
my
strap?
My chest? Yeah, like my chest is just like so gross, like so wet, and just like I hate it. It's just nasty. Yeah,
it's nasty. I mean, I have to make sure I'm like, I mean, there are some people don't understand this, and we'll probably get off of this in a little bit. But like in the South, in the US, we wear an undershirt.
Like commonly called wife beaters, right? Those things.
Well, some people wear the wife beaters. I just wear like I'm wearing it right now. This is like some Uniqlo like Airism or whatever. But
is there a better? Like, by the way, is there another term for that shirt?
I don't know what the wife beater is technically.
I grew up with them being called wife beaters, but now I'm thinking about it, it's probably not
it's probably some
what you want to call them. Yeah,
it's probably not the right. Now I'm gonna look it up. What is a wife?
It's like sleeveless undershirt is probably what you want to call it now. Yeah,
but I mean, I guess that's. I was gonna look up. Why is it called white? No, not look up.
It has to do with the image of the certain people that would.
Oh, it's like it came from them, 1947 criminal case where a Detroit man was arrested for beating his wife to death. Oh gosh. Okay.
Like with the shirt or while wearing it?
While wearing the shirt.
Okay.
There was a photo. I guess there was a photo of him and he had that on and that. But it is just a sleeveless shirt.
Right, it's a sleeveless undershirt. That's what they are. I remember when I used to work my office job when I was a salaryman, right, in Japan.
Yeah.
the bottom of the barrel of societal happiness. In the summertime, I would also start wearing undershirts as well, just because like the stuff from what you're wearing essentially right now, the thing from Uniqlo, the Airism thing.
Yeah,
it just helps to kind of keep your body a little more breezy. Yeah,
working from home, it's kind of interesting that I forgot about the whole cool biz. Culture.
Oh, cool biz is so fucking dumb, man. You want to explain to our viewers what cool biz is?
All right, so cool biz, and I honestly didn't even put two and two together until tonight. But
cool
biz is
business.
Cool. Well, no, they do the same thing in school, and I didn't realize this. You'll notice, like in anime, that in the fall they have the long sleeved uniforms, they have the higher socks and things like it's longer sleeves. And then in the summer months, it's like you convert to your short sleeve shirts. You convert
the summer uniform,
the
right?
The summer uniform, yeah. And they do the exact same thing for business. So in Japan, instead of wearing a full on suit, you now have the freedom to lose the jacket, and you can now wear some short sleeves if you want to. Yep. You can have a little bit more of a casual style to it. The shirts are thinner; they're a little bit more breathable material, but. Still look more business-like. Now, you can't wear short pants. That's not the thing, but...
That's kind of weird, but
That one, it's a little bit too much. But you're allowed to just not wear the actual, full-on suit. And I guess for shoes, you can just change those up if you want to be a little bit more breathable loafers or something.
When I was nicer. Working at the office, my cool biz outfit was short sleeve shirt, like a dress shirt, right?
Yeah, yep.
And no tie.
Oh, yeah, you dropped the tie, too, I think.
Yeah, and I would also unbutton my top button.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had, like, slacks on, and that was my cool biz. But since I, like, I hate suits. I just don't like wearing suits, right?
Right, right.
So when cool biz ended, I cheated by proceeding to never, ever wear my suit jacket again. I would just wear a cardigan in the office. That's and it was, like... good enough. It was good enough that I never got in trouble. Enough.
I mean, like even when you're meeting clients, it's not like you have your suit jacket on anyways. Unless you go out, that's the only time you have it. And then you take it off anyway. So
the
matter.
Only time that they request that I had to wear like my suit jacket was when I was meeting people from outside the office.
Right. Exactly.
But now I don't do that thing anymore. And I actually just like threw cool. all my business clothes away. Once I started, when I changed jobs, I was like, I'm probably never going to need this shit ever again. I'm like, I'm going to fucking throw these. Like, yeah. It's so cathartic. Like, you just feel so good. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you're just like,
yeah, you don't
it's
need
so
it anymore.
Liberating.
It's free. Your freedom. You're free.
Yeah. I could complain about working in an office for hours, you know.
Everyone
but that's
knows
not that's not what this podcast
it's
is.
Not, so. It's not what it is. So, but we will get into some other issues of freedom here. With our boy Clive, our wonderful, wonderful Clive from Final Fantasy 16. He is not a slave anymore. He is free. And so
well, I mean,
is humanity
spoiler,
to make...
That's like halfway, yes, halfway spoilers. No, yeah.
I don't know if that's halfway spoilers. You know he couldn't stay a slave forever.
You don't think they would ever make a game where the main character is a slave forever?
I don't know. Did the guy from Tales of Arise, was he freed eventually?
Was he free? Give me more. I actually really like that game. Was he freed eventually? Yeah, he was. He liberated himself when he fucking. This is the first 2 hours of the game. He liberated himself when he went to like the boss of the area and was like, "I'm a fucking," and he killed him. And I'm like, "Oh, he's well, you're good now, buddy.
There you go. You're good.
There's
you're
your liberation." Good. Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah. So I finished Final Fantasy 16. I did a whole week of just streaming this game all the whole week. And I definitely have some thoughts on it, and it okay. was a journey. I think I came away I walked away from the game going, you know what, this game is I do recommend it. For me, it's a solid 8. If you're gonna go out of 10 or something, it felt like an 8. When you get bogged down in side quests, it feels like a 7.5 or 7 something. It really goes down. Yeah, I mean, the thing I really liked about this game was it tries to tell different stories within it. It has beautiful imagery at times with some of the main characters. And I really do think you're rewarded for doing a lot of the later side quests. And it
so
really
I'm guessing you did all the side quests, right?
I did all of them except for the challenge, the kind of time trial challenges.
Oh, those things. Okay, yeah, sure.
And there's one I missed. There are 12 missable ones in here. There's one I missed somewhere. I think I missed one. I don't.
Okay.
There's 75 in total, 12 that are missable. And
so, I guess we'll talk about the ending of 16.
Oh,
I guess.
No, I didn't. I don't think I missed it. I think you have to do the. You have to do the whatever you want to call it in order to get to fill out the collectibles on the wall.
Correct.
To,
that's
yeah,
correct.
The
yes.
trials. Yeah. I didn't do the trials, so I'm missing one, and then the last collectible is like the one for you. You
for
got
doing
everything.
All of them.
Yeah. So I did
for
all the side quests. And what I will say is the side cast in this game, some of them are, I wouldn't say there's a lot of memorable characters. There's good characters. Get me wrong. There's characters.
Yeah.
There's characters in this game that have complex stories and more complex than I think other Final Fantasy characters because they're more potentially relatable or they're going through
like,
real issues. They're
yeah, going I mean, for me... Real. Personally, okay, so at the end of the game, or starting halfway through the game, basically, you start doing a side quest chain for the people who live in your hideout.
Yeah.
And they don't, like, these side quests don't resolve until basically right before the end, like,
Which
you go
horrible.
Fight the final boss, right?
So horrible.
So, like, well, I mean, like, I'm kind of used to that, because I played, like, 14, right,
see,
where these side quests don't resolve for a while.
But see, those quests, and they're really fulfilling. I hate the fact that there's so many people who will never experience them. And there's a reason that a lot of the just normal storytelling, if they just kind of did it normally, it would be in the middle of the game. It would be in the 50% of the mark, 50, 70% part of the game. This is in the 90, mark my words, 93, 97% of the game. I was literally tracking how far I was getting. That's where you get those side quests. And they all pop up at the same time.
Yeah,
and,
well, I mean, like, the last chapter has, like,
well, that's
I mean, I guess the most side quests, right?
There's 12, four, I think there's 14. And keep in mind, this is if you've been doing them. I think this is kind of a detriment to the game is the pacing. It starts out with side quests being kind of a 1 to 2, kind of 3 things that just kind of pop in after you finish a main leg of the quest.
Mm-hmm.
Like the actual leg of like, hey, you fought the boss. Here's some side quests.
It's like the downtime. It's like the mid chapter. It's the breather.
And then around the 70% mark, it just starts going into an overdrive of, okay, you talked to 5 people, had a cutscene. here's 3 to 4 side quests, and repeat, and repeat. And these side quests, you spend so much. Clive cannot run. This man cannot manually run.
He just kind of has like a sprint, kind of like a half sprint. Yeah.
I think I spend so much time. Whenever this comes to PC, I want someone to mod it to where this man can run or teleport. And I want him to teleport to the quest people and could directly turn them in. And I want the quest people to speak quicker.
You can skip dialogue. You know that, right?
So I was doing it on stream, and I skipped probably about 5 lines of dialogue through the entire game.
So for doing the side quest, I skipped a lot of the dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah. There's one point where Clive is talking to his uncle and he just says, "Thank you."
I don't know if you're like
so long.
Can you read in your mind faster than you can listen or no?
I mean, for me, you know, because I know that everyone on stream, I wasn't reading it out loud, right? And sometimes when I would skip it because there's so much pause in between some of the dialogue, I would read that and then I would skip it. Then there was other occasions where, you know, at the very end of the dialogue before it changes, I would just kind of press it and then skip that.
You would skip the next line?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Here's why I don't mind all the side quests is because we talked about this before. You can't really grind in this game. And you can redo action stages, but they don't give them any experience, right? So the amount of the side quests that you get between these chapters, they do give experience, and that's how you level up. Actually,
they give sometimes 5,000 XP. They give you a chunk of XP, about 30 to 60 renowned, depending on the quest or the hunt. Most of the hunts are enough to buy you a song. There's a whole issue in the game with actual buying weapons. The game to me, I think it really was held back in a little bit by trying to be an action game, but also being Final Fantasy. And so they really they never strayed away from this. They wanted everyone to be able to play the game and have fun with it. But at the same time, the more farther you get in the game, the more your basic combo string, you know, your sword, magic, like some of those loops, they became tiring for me. Like actually doing that repetition for 90 hours, that got tiring for me. I found a build that I love. I love the Will-O-Wisp. If you're going to use it, max that thing out. The satellites, I love the satellites. Those things do a crazy amount of damage. And then there's another thing where you can use like Bahamut stuff. Like there's some really cool AoE. There's some really cool stuff with Odin. I won't spoil that. There's deep mechanics that are in here. There are some deep combat mechanics.
Did you use Odin actually?
I tried Odin out, right?
I tried him like for a minute and I was like, I can't, I don't like this.
No, because they stick you with, and you told me, right? You're like, yeah. I wonder how you'll feel when you get to the very, like close to the end of the game, or in this, I think it's around 70%. You have all of everything. 80% is where everything kind of, you have everything. And you're like, yeah, I wonder what you'll think of the later builds. Bro, I tried to live life without Garuda. I tried.
I can't do it. Yeah. I told you. I know. Yeah. Like once Garuda, it's funny because Garuda is the first one you get, right? Well, aside from Ifrit, I guess, right? Well, no. Is Garuda before Ifrit?
Garuda is, well, technically before Ifrit, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so Garuda's like the first one you get, and I never once took Garuda off. I was always cycling between my other icons. So I was using Ramu for a bit, and then I stopped using Ramu. And then my final, like, because you only have 3 at a time.
Yeah.
My final set was Garuda, Shiva, and then Bahamut.
Okay, mine was...
And I'm actually only using one Bahamut skill plus his gift, and that's all I'm using Bahamut for. That's it. I'm using his gift and one skill. So I'm using Mega Flare and Giga Flare.
Which do ton of damage. It's towards the end, because I use Shiva or Shiva, and then I also used... what was my second was Garuda, and my third was Titan. And I used Titan for the block, mainly his block, and I never took Pile Drive
off.
His gift, and then the Pile Drive. I never took the Pile Drive off.
The Pile Drive is really fun, too. I was using that for a bit, and then I stopped using it in favor of some other hard-hitting skills as well. Like I started using so for Shiva, like I said, I use Shiva for her gift as well, her dodge freeze.
Yeah,
the dodge freeze, and I use her, what's it called, a diamond dust, her ultimate basically.
Oh yeah, that thing, the stagger on that is
comical. So good. It's comical. So good. It's so crazy.
And so when I would do stagger with Will of the Wisp and the satellite, those things do so good on stagger. You just go up to the boss, and because you're invincible for X amount of times as you get hit, you just wail on him and just keep pressing. You just keep shooting at him with the satellites, charging those, hitting them. And then I was using Bahamut as well for his Giga Flare or whatever. And that would be
the ultimate, right? Not the ultimate.
The ultimate. So I would be shooting a beam at them as the Wisp were hitting them. I was still hitting with the satellite at one point, I was like, this is the lamest build I could make, but it's actually kind of fun. But the issue with some of it that I found, and I said, this is where it comes with the balance of making it more accessible to everybody, is I felt like, why do I have two dashes now? You have normal dash, you have Shiva's dash.
Her gift kind of thing, right?
So she, in my mind, a really cool way to make this combat a little bit, to fix it a little bit, Shiva becomes your actual dash. That's your actual dash. That's your R1 or whatever you're using for dash. Your actual, if you had a guard button in the game, Titan becomes your guard, right? So you have that, you have a guard. And then if you want to summon the sword for Odin, I think maybe having different loadouts a little bit could actually help a little bit, because there's fodder enemies and I want AoE moves, but I don't want those AoE moves on the boss. And so you get this kind of thing of like, well, I don't want to use AoE moves on the boss, but you can't switch while you're in combat.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So for AoE, I like Rising Flames, the Phoenix Gift.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you're fighting a boss, it's a little bit less effective because it doesn't have that much stagger and it doesn't also do that much damage.
Yeah.
It has really good cooldown, so it's a little more spammable. You can throw it in combos a little more, but I agree, for boss fights, it's not as useful as a skill.
Yeah.
So you're in a tough place. You're like, do I keep it on me for trash mobs and I just kind of deal with it? Or do I know, like, for example, I know I'm going to go into a fight, let me switch my skills real fast.
Exactly.
You could do that, but I don't know if you did. I never did.
No. You kind of stick to it and just let it rock. And I mean, but that's combat. Overall, it's satisfying. Maybe some people might say there's one too many accessories, or some people will say, and I will agree that overall, in terms of like when you're getting swords, dude, I got so ticked off when I got Ragnarok, and then I went back and I looked, and I think it was Goots had some plain old, I forgot what that sword is called, but it was a gray sword that was actually more powerful than Ragnarok.
How did that happen? Really?
It was the not the second version, but the first version.
It was like great sword plus one or something, right?
It was some lame sword. I'm like, what the heck? Why
that's
is
so
this
funny? Yeah,
here?
Ragnarok was a lot of work, honestly. But you probably won't do this. You probably won't care. But I think you need Ragnarok. Oh, you would have got the sword if you...
Yeah, I got it.
Need Ragnarok for that other sword. For that other sword, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. The last one. I got the last one. I was a little disappointed that it doesn't look different.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
it's the same sword. It's a copy.
Yeah. But I feel like in terms of the story... I told you this earlier, but I feel like the first half of the story is extremely strong.
It is.
Once you get to the halfway point, the last third of the game, it starts to get weird. It starts to get harder to follow the story.
So I think what the issue was is I followed it, but
The villain kind of sucks, I think, is the problem.
There's nothing about it that stands out that the villain. He's not the villain that you deal with the most of the game, right? He's not who you see most of the game. You know, you deal with the dominants, and those people, those dominants, they have their ideals.
They have personalities.
Exactly. And that's who you have. Well, sorry. That's who Clive even has beef with. Clive don't know this dude I don't know this man.
I think like now that I've I beat the game like a month ago and I've sat on it, I think the villain, the final boss of this game is pretty weak in terms of like it just when thinking about the other final bosses of other Final Fantasy games. Yeah, he kind of sucks, right? He's kind of like not memorable.
He's right? not memorable for honestly, probably an enemy that is very traditional in a lot of Final Fantasies. That
well, I would say most JRPGs. Like he's a very stereotypical final JRPG boss in terms of the role that he serves. Right?
He, I love how his mistake is probably the whole crux of the game, and I won't spoil it. Was just because he did something that honestly was kind of dumb. It's not dumb. It's like what anyone would actually do in this kind of. In this situation, but this is a game where honestly they try to make sure that every question is answered. They always make sure that they try to fill in the whys, and that's also why you end up walking from quest A to quest B if it's just walk and talk, because they want to make sure that hey, you don't ever have to ask like, well, how did this happen or why did this happen so quickly? But yeah, the final boss of the game compared to Bahamut. I gotta say, Bahamut, that fight.
Holy was really fun. Yeah,
crap,
super
that
cool.
fight was awesome.
I was like, it's a pretty crazy fight. Yeah,
I think that's one of the best fights I've had in a game with a boss of scale. Titan was cool. A lot of these enemies are spongy. Don't get me wrong. It's like a 20, 30 minute fight.
Well, I mean, they're
fight
long fights.
Them.
They're like 40 minutes long. Yeah they're long fights.
They're no
fights.
Joke. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's all I have for the game. It was fun. I would say, yeah, just do the side quests as you get them. That's probably the best way to do it because
yeah, don't leave them to the end. Like,
don't leave. Do not do it.
But like, I mean, like Final Fantasy 14 is the same way too, where like either main story quests are spread out in between chunks of like you not doing the story. Like you're doing a ton of random stuff in 14.
Yeah.
So like I approach the side quest in the same way that I approached the side quest of 14, where like you get to a town, you open your map, and you're like, holy fuck, that's a lot of exclamation points. And you just like pick them all up. You just pick all the quests up, and then you go to like the field and you open your map again and you're like, let me knock out five of these. And then you just like do the quest, teleport back to town, turn them all in, and you just like level up twice and you're like, I'm good to go.
That's exactly how I did all of them.
Yeah.
Just a word of warning, the very last ones, that's 5 hours in a row. That's 5 hours. It's five
hours.
5 hours?
What were the, what? Which ones?
It's five. All of the ones that pop up at the end, 5 hours. Because as I was doing them throughout, you know, the first stream, I legit, or like, you know, the previous stream, I picked them all up. And then that stream, I just did all of them back to back to back to back.
Oh, I think I remember doing those quests too. So I think I took those quests at like, maybe 9 p.m. and then I went to bed at like 3 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, most of them they do take some time, but honestly, I got to say I would urge everyone to stick with them. Stick with them because some of the characters
they have character payoffs.
They have
not
character
like,
payoffs.
Well, some of them have mechanic payoffs like when you get more potions or whatever, but
that dude was weird.
If you want more development with the characters, with the people that live in the hideaway and also the people that are closest to Clive, the side you quests just... where you get, I mean, the last quest with Torgal, like
I didn't know if we wanted to say, but yeah, Torgal's was, honestly best character in the game is Torgal.
Sweet. Like,
say it.
Torgal's quest, Matt, when you go to the treehouse.
Yeah, the little treehouse.
Like,
my man said, I never stopped looking for you. I was like, oh, shit, man.
I was like, oh, yeah. Yo, man. When Clive said that, he's like, you never stop looking for me, boy. I was like, oh, my
Torgal
God.
Torgal is the best character in this game. Torgal speaks up when you are in trouble. He helps you when you're in trouble. Torgal, you control. You know, you get to, like, add him to your gameplay. Yeah. Torgal is just adorable and also fierce. I love Torgal, right?
Torgal's good. Yeah.
Jill is Jill. I think, but yeah, there's missed opportunities, right? There's missed opportunities Taya.
For sure.
Taya has missed opportunities. Vivian has missed opportunities. Honestly, the whole cast has missed opportunities, and it made me think like,
probably don't want to make the game longer than they do, because otherwise it would turn into like a mini 14. Like, you know what I mean?
I think the issue was just that this game had, it didn't know what it wanted to be at some points. Was it about Clive liberating slaves, or Sid liberating slaves? Or was it about a love story between Jill and Clive?
I mean, probably the slave thing more than anything, but
how many times did you count that disappeared? It like literally disappears at points.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, it literally disappears when you destroy all the crystals. So,
but it's so weird that you never really see people. Honestly, this is actually very interesting. If you don't do the side quests, you may never actually see the people around you change.
Like the
places. Because I had a feeling, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, as all of this progressed, Clive was annexing these places into the hideaway? Not as
because you help like towns and stuff, right?
Yeah, and through you have the side quests, who are like, yo, I'm like your general here, basically. I'm not a force or anything, but I have influence. And I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if those places, the people in them, then kind of started to understand more? There is one town that does it, but understand like, hey, part of the hideaway, as part of these outlaws, we kind of understand what they're doing. And we kind of stop believing this.
Well, I mean, Clive says that in one of the side quests. He's like, why don't you join me? And then she's like, I got things to do.
Yeah, yeah. And so,
you know.
Yeah, at the very end, they're still separate, but sometimes it's like the people are important, the common people, sometimes the bears. But like you said, at the very end, because everything, you know, things happen. So I think that could have been handled better. Or I think just tossed like, out. I would have loved the story.
I don't know
just
if there's
Jill. I would just like Jill and Clive keep the dominance, take out old, you know, homeboy at the end, and I think we could add a fire story. The mom
If Jill was in the final fight.
If it was really just like a really good love story, because I, you know what the thing is you understand, especially from like 14 and then just playing these in the side quests, these dudes have the chops to tell a good story. They have the chops to do it and make. All these characters have complex issues, and they really set up some beautiful moments with them. I like if it was just focused on Clive, Jill, dominance.
I think there's room for more story. I mean, because they hint at other nations in the story.
Yeah, there's a whole extra. We're on the continent of Storm.
There's other nations in this world, and like I don't think they would, but. This is a hallmark of like Yoshi P with 14, where like he'll drip feed story elements into like what the main story is, and then that will slowly like branch off into the new like expansion for 14. So like when you're playing like A Realm Reborn, like the first 2.0, so past the reboot, right?
Right, right.
They would like introduce like foreigners, like people from other nations, like they would just show up in the story, you would interact with them, and those foreigners would slowly over time have a greater voice, and they would be like featured in the story more, and then surprise, suddenly you're going to another nation in the next expansion, and that's where they're from, and he does it, it's like rinse and repeat, like they'll introduce like a villain, like they'll show up in a cutscene, and you're like, those guys are weird, but like we're not fighting them, I wonder if we ever and you do eventually fight them, and then it's typical MMO, I think, but like he does that in this game where they're like, there's a nation overseas that fights with this kind of sword or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, I kind of wonder like what the nation's like. We're probably never going to go there, honestly.
Yeah, we're not going to the one hit wonder sword.
And then like also
there's
the spoilers.
Another realm too. There's like
there's other realms. There's also like where the fuck did Odin's mom come from? Right.
That was a weird, like when you read some of the stuff with tomes, you're like, what?
Bro, yeah, like Odin's mom came from like where did Odin's mom come from? Like she didn't just fuck. Like he's a Odin is a the guy, what's his name?
Barnabas.
Barnabas, yeah. He's a foreigner in that land, right?
Yeah, yeah. He actually came there from another spot, then took over.
Yeah. So and they're just like, yeah, he's a foreigner. And he just became the king casually, and they're like, okay, well, where is he from? So there's more to this world, right?
Yeah.
So we're probably never gonna see it, but
I mean, Hopefully we get some DLC. I mean, I don't know who...
But what it would be, question mark. I mean, this is spoilers probably for the actual end of the game. But, like, what would the DLC be? Because where else can they go?
I think we have, and I guess we'll put, like, a spoiler tag here. Don't listen if you... for a couple minutes or 5 minutes or something. Honestly, so at the end, you know, Clive is no longer. We skip. We actually don't know if he is no longer or not. We just see the curse is taken over him.
He's probably dead. Yeah.
Dead, probably. And I think he's actually on a coast of another place. I don't think he's actually in.
You think he washed up on another continent?
I think he washed up on the other side, and that's why he's like, Jill, can you see this now? And where did Jill want to go? She wanted to go a place where she could spread her wings, not on Valstia, not on this continent. I think Clive is just on another place. He's just another, like, place on the beach.
Clive is dead though, right?
So all we knew is that he used a little bit of magic burned off of him, and so his hand was cursed. And we know that the curse spreads. Does the curse spread the more you continue to use it?
The more you use your magic.
And there's no more magic. So I figure that unless the rest of his body goes, like, it just spread all at once, I feel like he's still alive. Because we jump to the future.
There's a time skip, right?
There's a time skip, and we find out that Joshua was chronicling the whole thing into, you know, Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Which the final boss actually even says. Is the final boss or Clive, someone says, like, this will be the final fight of some sort of fantasy. There's, like, a line.
That was just like a fan teaser. That's just like a thing. I remember that. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you serious right now? But, like, that was a dumb line. I kind of loved it, but it was a dumb line. Yeah.
It was something I was like, man, they really put that one in there.
I was like, you shoehorned this fucking line into the game. Why'd you do this? That's like in the Last of Us TV series. They're like, Ellie, we are the Last of Us. He winks into the camera.
Yeah, basically. But I don't know. So there's that. There's, that wouldn't be DLC. That's just me going, did I have a glitch in my game? We have stuff with everyone in the hideout, honestly. Everyone in the hideout is still doing their thing.
They're still alive.
We never did the whole airship. The airship was never built, which will never be built, but we never hit it. I don't know. Maybe that's some fun little side quest. But, like, what other character, I guess, would you want to spend time with? Like, Jill goes and explores the rest of the world with...
I mean, definitely Jill. Like, definitely just Jill. Just playable Jill.
Just needs
Jill.
A story.
Jill and Torgel, honestly.
Jill, Torgel, Gav, and a baby.
That'd be sick. Yeah, that'd be fun. In terms of DLC possibilities for character development, I think if anyone needs it, it would be Jill and Torgel. If you want to find out what happens to the baby with Gav, that's fine too. There'll be side quests regarding raising a baby, possibly. But my question is just, like, in terms of the world, what's left for that world? I mean, we have a lot.
Because we don't know how it actually ended. But
what's the conflict then? Like, what's the main conflict? Is it like another fucking...
So Clive said it, and this is why... The thing I liked about it is the same thing I hate about it. It's too serious. The best parts of the game are sometimes when Uncle is just like, what the heck is that? Yo, let's go do this. Or, you know,
his uncle's really funny. Yeah, Clive's uncle's really
joking.
Funny. Yeah,
he's joking. You know, Gav is being a little bit, you know, not serious. And, you know, Sid carries is so much, you know, and he's just such a respectable.
He's definitely like the best Sid, I think, honestly. Yeah, Sid is the best Sid.
So the very end, Ultima says, yo. So you got your wish. Yep. I'm going to die. You're delaying the inevitable. Mm. What the heck do you even gain from this? And Clive just goes, I don't know. I don't know what we gain for this. We might struggle. We might have pain. We might go through this for 100 years. I don't know. But at least we'll have our free will. There's a whole conflict that's there. And like you said, maybe they take us to some of those lands to help solve something. Because the curse breakers, they're still around. They're actually expanding for whatever reason. We did a quest when the world is ending, some of them quests made no sense. Hey, we need another scout. What the fuck? Right now?
Oh, I remember the scout quest too. Is like,
right now?
Like, do you pass? And I'm like, whatever, buddy. Sure, I don't care. Yeah, you passed.
That's what I did too. I'm like, yeah. Right now, really?
Yeah, sure. I guess technically you did it. Yeah, sure.
Sure. Maybe that's it. Like, I know people were trying to figure out who Leviathan was, and
oh, that's a question. Would there? Yeah, Leviathan's cool. That'd be a fun thing.
So maybe he has or they have something to do with something. I don't know, but they've
never announced DLC, right? They haven't announced DLC.
They haven't, but most of these games have some sort of DLC to them.
So we know 15, the last number title, had like what, 3 packs or something like that, right?
And that was all, I think.
Oh, no, four packs.
That was like per character, correct? Like they were really.
It was per. It was your boys. It was one for the boys each, and then one for the main villain.
Okay. Yeah, that was. They really went like, yeah, we need to fix. We need to not fix, but people love the characters in that game. That's why I want to play it.
Yeah. So there was 4 DLC packs for 15.
And we had the multiplayer thing too. That was a whole different.
Yeah, correct. Weird. We got one DLC technically for 7 remake.
Right. Which,
and that's it. I don't think you can count the 13 games as DLC. Those are just sequels, right?
Those are sequels. Yeah. And
but I feel
that,
like, here's the thing. If they were working on 16 DLC, would they have not announced it by now? Or do you think they're holding off until like a 7 remake style kind of thing with Integrate? Because yeah, when Integrate came out, they were like, here's why you want to buy Integrate, because it has more story. And you're like, oh, fine, whatever, sure.
I mean,
so if they're going to do another version of 16, possibly the PC release, is that when they'll be like, oh, by the way, you should buy it again. Here's why.
Like, that makes sense, because obviously they're going to get to a point where they're not going to be selling as much of the game anymore. And, you know, they want to sell more of the base game itself. So when it comes to PC, that's obviously, of course, you know, that's just a good time to put out the DLC as well. And they have all the assets. So it's more, you know, if they want to do something in this area, or if they want to go to another kind of coast. But the systems are there. I feel like they don't have to do as much work, of course, as they had to do making this game. And it doesn't have to be anything long. I think people would be okay with something that's only like maybe 6 hours or something. That's
would you
that's
be okay with a 6 hour DLC? Because I would want fucking at least 15, honestly.
If it's just focusing on one character, you know, I can wrap my mind around that. Like, you know, that's fine. Especially if it's a character that, you know, we really enjoyed, and I assume it could even come with like some extra things for the base game or some trials or something to kind of flesh stuff out.
Like different swords for Clive.
Different, yeah. Give him some more swords. Give him an axe. I just want to see how he swings an axe. Let him swing it with the Titan hand.
It would be the same animation, but just...
It would be the same animation. I mean, maybe that could be a thing. Like I said, this game is best binged. Like, can't imagine... I couldn't imagine binging it.
Like spreading it out?
Well, like just playing the main quest only, this is probably a crazy ride, because all those major fights, they go back, they probably start rocking back to back to back. And there's some, when you get to Bahamut, you're like, how can it top?
So that was your favorite. All right. I mean, well, just to wrap it up, but like, what was your favorite fight then? Was it the Bahamut fight?
Yeah, Bahamut by far. I think Barnabas, unfortunately, you know, he was all right. He was cool. Barnabas is cool, but he's spouting that crazy logic. He's spouting that crazy stuff like, all right, man, come on.
Did I even like that fight? I mean, it was okay. It's okay. Fight.
The moves look cool, though. That's why you're like, oh, that's cool. Sometimes if I didn't like the fight, like the character I was fighting, I loved the moves they were using.
Yeah.
Like the attack patterns. He had some bonkers attack patterns that were fun to look at.
I know. It took me a while to realize for the one attack where he fills the field with danger.
Oh, I was like, Garuda.
Oh, you have to go behind him. That's what you do.
I would Garuda up into the air and then just go behind him.
I tried to time a dodge through those attacks, but then I would like get hit. So then I'm it's just like one. Yeah, yeah.
I would say a runner-up fight though, Behemoth. One of the mega, the King Behemoth.
That, you like that fight?
Bro, he was chunking meteors for like 5,000 days. Yeah, he just kept chunking meteors plus other elemental spells. Like, I felt like I was really being tested, and it was just cool to watch at the same time as like, oh, my, I feel like my life's in danger. Like, oh, crap.
That's true. That's true. I think I really like the final boss for that reason. The amount of AoEs that are on the floor and you're like, oh, stand here to not die kind of thing. I was like, yeah, right.
Stand here, but also look for, you know, yeah, what might be coming at the same
time. Stand here to not die. And then if there's like an energy wave coming, you have to dodge through it or jump over it, I guess. But
what about you? What was your favorite fight?
I mean, the Bahamut fight is a definite highlight because you go to fucking space.
I did not expect. I was like, Bahamut, how do you have so much life? Dang.
I actually really liked the Ifrit fight.
The first one. I guess there's only one technically, yeah.
The one against Ifrit.
Ifrit, yeah. That was actually
when you play as Ifrit.
that was bonkers. I
that was
laughing
my favorite fight,
throughout
yeah.
that fight. That was a good fight.
Yeah. They only play, there's a song on the soundtrack called I think it's called Find the Flame. It's Clive's theme. It only plays twice in the whole game, and the first time you hear it is during that fight.
That's a good fight. Like I said, yeah, that first half of the game, man, to the 60 really whatever, it's really 70%, good, yeah. it's a ride. And then you get your side quest and you do.
I think for me, it's not just the side quest. It's not this for me, I didn't really mind a side quest because it also gave me a time to chill out. And I didn't have to be like, I don't know, like it kind of let me just like sit in my computer chair and just like zone out a bit while I played 16 and not had to do stories. I didn't mind it as much.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't streaming it. I wasn't trying to like.
And that's a whole different thing too. Like,
because I wasn't. Yeah. I mean, this is like a side topic, but I don't stream certain games for reasons like this. For reasons when I want to just like mellow and kind of like turn my brain off or whatever, right? So I didn't mind the side quests as much because I'm like running around and just like being on Twitter at the same time or whatever. But for me, I just really feel like the motivations of the characters and the final boss didn't really like hook me as much as the first part of the game. And I, like I said before, like if I try to think about the final bosses of the other Final Fantasy games, the final boss of this game isn't memorable for some reason. Like I just don't care about him. Like when you think about it's hard to compare any boss to Sephiroth, but Sephiroth is a very popular character, right?
Yeah,
lots of people like Sephiroth. He's got a good design. He's I wouldn't say like really complex, but people legitimately like Sephiroth. He's a good villain, right? And the same thing with like, for example, Kefka from Six. He's kind of like a weird fucked up kind of clown, but people like him because he's got a personality to him.
Yeah.
He's very memorable. He's got some memorable lines and that kind of stuff.
Crazy good song. Dancing.
Yeah, right. Kefka's theme.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we think about...
I mean, 15 even Sin, too. Even people remember Sin.
So, yeah, Sin. Like Sin. Because Sin shows up. He shows up in the first 15 minutes of the game and he's like just there. He's such an important part of the story. And then 15, I don't know if you play 15, but like the final boss of 15... I would argue 15 has its own share of problems, but I actually kind of like the final boss of 15. He's kind of a cool guy. He's really charming. He's kind of funny. I like the boss of 15 legitimately. But the final boss of 16 is just like, who the fuck are you? I can't even remember a catchy, cool line from this guy. Do you know what I mean?
He speaks like an AI generated robot.
He kind of does.
Actually an AI generated robot, which is, you can kind of fall asleep during some of the conversations with them or his.
Oh
his,
man,
his
the final dun- the final dungeon. I was just like, sorry, what was that? I'm not even kidding. I'm not trying to. I was like, in the final dungeon, I was like, wait, what did you just say? I was like, wait, what?
When he was, I mean,
talking. Yeah. When he was talking forever, yes.
When he was talking forever, he basically the whole thing is he fell asleep. He went to sleep, and when he went to sleep,
we woke up, and he's like, oh shit.
Yeah. Mankind had progressed. Mankind was supposed to stay asleep and then, you know, awaken to his new world so he could use his fuel, and then everyone becomes nothing. And then, you know, I was like, all right, bro, whatever. Okay, cool.
But I don't know. I just like didn't care.
No, because he's
for me,
there.
It's the villain. Yeah, I think it's the villain. I just didn't care about the villain.
The
yeah.
mom was such a good. Dude, the mom
she
was
like
such
she's
a good
character. She was she's like a good character. Character. Yeah,
you
want to
hate
like,
her, and at the same time,
yeah,
like,
it was like
no redeeming things about her.
yeah. It was like easy to hate her. It was fun to hate her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean like she had motivations for what she was doing, as messed up as it was. And
Even Barnabas honestly had a little bit of a motivation.
Just take the dominance, expand on some people. And I mean, they have to change some parts of the story, but I think it's just better. It's just better for it, you know.
Like, without, what if the final boss was Barnabas?
I think they could have played him up even more. Like, yeah, because the first time you meet Barnabas and he does what he does, and even the second time you meet him, you're like, Clive, motherfucker, how are you gonna beat this dude?
Yeah, because he wrecks you, right? Yeah.
He wrecks you in such a way that you're like, this, I thought Bahamut was something. This dude is on another level.
He's not from
this realm or something. And honestly, the weird thing is that Clive actually, he gets plot protagonist level up. You don't see Clive actually do any training or do anything to get better.
It's true. He rolls up to the castle, and then you're fighting on, suddenly you're on even ground, right?
He split the ocean, and the ocean just stayed up for as long as he wanted
Frieza,
it to.
That's Dragon Ball Z shit right there.
What?
That's Frieza splitting the ocean of Namek.
What can you do?
It's so funny, yeah.
And he's like, I'm like, okay, Clive, you just beat him with your will. I mean, you're not Shimon from Gurren Lagann. You don't turn up that much, Clive, but we'll let you just keep your way.
Yeah, and then Clive just like strolls up to the castle, and then like, you're on even ground all of a sudden, right?
You're on even ground for whatever reason, even though you get beat in that fight too.
just get stronger. True. Yeah. Anyways, sorry. I mean, the game is good. If you said you gave it an 8, I would probably give it probably around the same. I legitimately liked it. I actually really did like 16. I binged it over, I think, a week, 4 days, 4 or 5 days or something like that.
I think it's the way to do it.
Yeah, but like I said, there are some games that I refuse to stream because I really want to be able to just sit in my chair and just play a video game and soak it all up. We talked about this before in our experience with streaming, but in the back of my mind, when I'm streaming a game with a heavy story or there's a lot of cutscenes, I'm always like, are you guys bored? Are you guys enjoying this?
I 100%. So this game, I wanted to play it to actually challenge myself to play a game like this on stream.
Yeah.
And to see what that's like, because the same thing will happen if I want to play it, because I want to play Judgment on stream.
Because I told you my experience with Yakuza 0, right?
Yeah. It's one of those games, and if you are a streamer and you're going to play something that's brand new, that's come out, that's story heavy, specifically story heavy, because I'll tell you, if I play Armored Core or Elden Ring, what's different? Those games, they have story, but it's nothing that you don't mind seeing when you look at the stream. You know, when you're you don't feel like you have the spoiler cast on. You're like, okay, I can't look at this because I'm going to play it myself. This is one of those games where at any given time, you might be spoiled. This is a game where, unfortunately, the combat, while it looks flashy at one point, it's not really entertaining to look at. If you just look at someone play it for a while, it just kind of starts looking samey because the enemies are kind of damage sponges at one point. That's what I felt. It looks a little samey. And then, of course, like you said, when you know you have a cutscene, if you have alerts on or something, and you know, oh, this was a sincere moment, and all of a sudden, like an alert plays, like, "Hey, you got to follow." Blink. Oh, thanks for the follow. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. So I've made rules because my chat's like, "Yeah, we want you to play God of War on stream." I'm like, "Y'all thought 16 was some stuff? Oh, God of War, that's my boy." So I've determined like alerts all turned off. There are some times you might not even like hear me say anything because
you're just like sitting. Yeah, because that's the thing too. Because like when I'm playing a game with like a cutscene, like at least five or more minutes, right?
Yeah.
And I try to be entertaining and I want to be a little bit engaging. I'll kind of interject some thoughts. I'll be like, "Oh, that's funny," or like, "Oh, that's cool," or "Oh, wow." But
exactly.
When I'm actually just playing a video game and I'm just being myself, I'm like deadpan.
Just like, yeah,
I'm just staring. I'm just staring at the screen, sitting in silence. And that's how I actually play video games, right?
Exactly.
So like, there are some games that I just want to do that. Like, I just want to sit in my chair and play video games.
Honestly, it does work. What I learned from this game is a lot of my audience didn't have a lot of experience with Final Fantasy. The ones that did really stuck around and continued to watch. They're like, because you know they wanted to see how I reacted to the same parts they reacted to, right?
Yeah.
But for the ones that just I'm gonna call him out. Sorry, guys. If you playing Skyrim, Bethesda RPGs, Western RPGs, anyways, you know, there's a limit on how much they could watch before kind of zoning out a little bit, and maybe they come back. But you know, I could feel that, like, oh, okay, like, you guys, some of y'all, it's not your cup of tea. So if you are planning to play a game like this on your stream, know if it's your people's cup of tea or not, because that'll totally change how it is, right?
Yeah, I feel like
they can watch. I feel like my chat could watch a Yakuza game because it's like a movie, a human story. We watch FMV games, right? And we've gotten to the point where we can watch FMV games in a different language, and so it kind of carries over a little bit. It's weird. It has that weird hook in it, like, oh, this is Japan, and they're interested in Japan. And they're like, oh, what the heck is that weird thing? Like, are we singing karaoke or something? Like, stuff like that keeps you cooked a little bit. But, you know, Clive is monotone. This game is very monotone. I don't think we see Clive do anything outside of yell, anger, a little bit of tears, and some very, very,
and then getting
very
naked.
Small...
Yeah, that was hot. That was a hot cutscene.
That was actually a very beautifully, it was a very well scripted slash, what do you want to call it? Like, set. It was... The imagery in it is actually really nice. I mean, if I cared more about Jill at that point, I think it would have been a whole different game.
Yeah.
I think
I don't know. I mean, for Yakuza games, at least, there's two parts of it. It's fun to stream Yakuza games because it's so wacky, right? Yeah. There's like karaoke, and then there's like weird side quests where you infiltrate a cult and the cult is doing weird shit, right? That's fun. To me, that's the fun part of streaming Yakuza, when you do all the weird stuff.
Yeah,
but then there's the other part of Yakuza where you sit and it's a cutscene for an hour.
It's a cutscene for an hour. You're like,
when it's that, I'm just like, are you guys okay with, like, I'm not talking much.
And yeah,
I'm also not playing a video game. We're kind of watching a movie.
And it really is. It really does go to the audience you have, like I said, and how many people you have in the chat. And sometimes it's, you know, luckily those games, people kind of come back. Usually just to pop in and see, like, oh, someone's playing a Yakuza game, like, let me check it out for a little bit. So hopefully all
they
that
do
changes.
Have like they do have like a dedicated fan base, I would say. Yeah
And like I said, hopefully some of that changes with the new stuff that's rolling out on Twitch this fall with the new discovery feature for
oh,
clips.
Yeah.
And
but I mean, TikTok. I remember you popped in when I was playing Yakuza, and I was just doing taxi races for an hour.
Yeah, you're just doing taxi races. I'm like, what the heck is this crazy taxi Yakuza stuff?
And that's all I did. Yeah.
Oh man. But there is an art to it for sure. My last piece of advice is, if there's a game like this that has side quest and main quest, and I've been doing better at it usually, these just are long. Yeah, dedicate a day for side quest. Put like, hey, we're doing side quest today. Hey, we're doing main quest.
That's what I did with Yakuza, man. I was like, today we're fucking taxi racing, and I honestly committed to it.
And there's gonna become a point where you have to decide, do I really wanna keep doing side quest?
Yeah, I had to, like, when I finished doing my taxi races, I was like, all right, that's it for Yakuza. Thanks, guys. And then I just kept playing by myself. So, yeah.
But yeah, we were going to talk about some Pokemon. We're over time now. Some Pokemon.
What time was that?
9:40,
yeah.
Yeah, we've hit like about an hour.
Holy fuck.
So,
all right, well,
just,
I mean,
that's the spoiler cast for Final Fantasy.
We can talk
16.
About really fast. I mean, just Pokemon. So, about 24 hours from now, almost 24 hours from now, it's going to be the next Pokemon Presents, right? And it's 35 minutes of announcements. And yep. I would like to ask, what are your predictions for what are they going to announce for Pokemon Presents tomorrow?
They're really going to announce anything? I mean, the only thing they have left is an Arceus in their tank. Like a Legends,
really
a new Legends game, and they have the DLC. Is there a date on the DLCs yet for Scarlet Valley?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So, I mean, what else can they do? We got Sleep, we got Go, they could have a whole bunch of like, hey, check out this kind of event that's happening in this title. Maybe. I feel like
so
that
you
could
have,
be
you
the
have
case
no,
of it.
You think there's going to be no new game announcements?
Are we on what remake are we on right now?
The last remakes they did were Diamond Pearl, so now we'd be doing Black and White. That's for sure,
is that
like
it?
Confirmed. Like, that's what you think they're gonna announce?
I'm trying to think, like, is there anything else they can announce? We have they already announced a Detective Pikachu 2. Yeah, we haven't had a remake or a Legends. Anything else would just be like a mobile game or something? Like, I don't know. There's the Master set. We almost forgot about Masters, the card game. The Masters collectible card game. It's like
the cool adult version of the first expansion or what first set?
Limited. Right. I think there's not really much more information on that, so they might follow up on that. I could see that being a thing, but I don't know, like, surprise-wise, what else they have in the tank left, because they wouldn't show a new game, like a new mainline.
Especially not before the DLC comes out.
I don't know. I mean, what do you think? You're more in tune with this, so.
Here's my opinion. Here are my guesses. We're going to get a new event for Pokemon Cafe Mix. They're going to show some kind of half anniversary or something for Pokemon Masters X.
Okay.
They're going to talk about how popular Pokemon Sleep has been.
The three mobile apps. Okay, yes.
And then they're going to show a little bit of some more footage for the DLC for Scarlet Violet that's coming out at the end of this year.
Okay.
They're going to hype up Pokemon Worlds a little bit, right?
Yeah, yep.
And
this is so standard.
And then we're going to get a teaser for a Black and White remake, and that's it.
I think that's the best we can hope for.
I actually, and the Black and White remake, I'm not even sure they're actually going to even talk about. I wouldn't be surprised if they talk about the mobile apps for like 20 minutes, and then they're just like, here's some more footage for the DLC. Have a good night, everybody. I actually wouldn't be, if that's all it was tomorrow, I would be like, all right, yeah, that's fine.
They might do the anime a little bit. They might do some update with the anime. I know I think the US, Ash's stuff is just now ending. But there's like,
I can't believe he dies.
He's no Holy longer
shit, were you surprised?
In the world
Man.
Of Pokemon. But I think there's like some sort of like after adventure, not with Ash, but maybe like an after adventure or something that they might be doing. I can't remember. It's
with not Ash?
With not Ash or somebody.
Rico or whatever her name is?
Hold on, let's see. Pokemon.
Her name's like Rico, right? I actually don't even know.
Yeah, what was this thing? Or is it just the new stuff? What comes after Ash? Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there was like some sort of like journey they might do. But maybe not.
Okay. But I don't know if like they have any big announcements for Pokemon Presents this time around. I just like, I don't know. I don't think they would announce remakes, but
everything's.
Are we due for remakes? Let me try to figure out the release schedule. So
they come out every fall, but they have DLC coming out this fall.
No, but they always overlap a little bit. So, for example, we had Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, and then just a few months after that was Arceus, right? So they do kind of overlap their games. I'm trying to figure out what were the remakes before Brilliant Diamond? So that was Gen 3, also Mega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. How long ago after X and Y came out did those clones come out? Because there was no DLC for X and Y, right?
Let's see here.
Because it was Ruby, Sapphire, and then it was like the Let's Go games, and then Sword and Shield, right?
Yeah.
And the Let's Go games are like kind of like Gen 1 remakes.
A little bit.
They're kind of like Gen 1, yeah. So like, are we even due for more remakes? Because Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl
That was last year, right? Or was it a year before last?
It was technically 2021. Are we due for remakes?
We're due for the one before that, Let's Go Pikachu. That was 2018. 2018. 2021. And but before that was Omega Ruby. That was 2014.
Oh, so that was a way bigger gap.
3 years. Heart Soul Silver, 2009.
Yeah, that was a huge gap.
It's gonna get gaps before and all that. Fire Red and Green were
the first remix.
Yeah, that was 2004. 2004, 2009, 2014, 2018, 2021.
So
I
we
can't
might
say
not
we're not due for one.
Well, we could be due for remakes if those remakes drop in 2024 or something, right?
Yeah, we had a Rescue Dungeon DX that was 2020.
Well, that was a remake too, technically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what can and then we start going and then what? Yeah, I don't know when Pikachu, Detective Pikachu, but that's a whole different story. I don't know. I feel like we are. I feel like
we
they
are.
Could, they could.
I agree with you. I think we could have remakes, but the question is,
would they announce it and three months later it comes out? Have they done that before?
Not 3 months. More like 6 to 8 months. So if they announce it, if they were to announce it, it would be probably something like a January, February release, kind of like Arceus was.
That could make sense. Takes the place of Arceus. Or like, what was that launch spot?
Because I just don't think they want to crowd the fall right now, because they do have the DLC coming out, and it's not like a full game, but I think that's probably where the majority of their marketing is going right now.
They also have that's also Nintendo's having a pretty good time around that with two Mario titles as well.
Yeah, it would be way too crowded if they
kind of crowded.
I don't think they, I mean, they could, but I don't think they would. So if they were to do, if they were to announce it tomorrow, it would probably be an early 2024 release. But Black and White, are they going to do Black and White remakes? Do you really think that the Pokemon Company is like, yes, we will continue to remake all of our gens?
I don't know what they're going to do, because we're at the point now where it's like, it's asking like, would you remake a PS3 game? Sure.
Last of Us.
And then it's like, would you remake a PS4 game? Last of Us. there's only so many that actually do it. Halo, you know, Master Chief Collection or something like that. But they're already good enough as they are. Like, what else are you, you know, they'll add the new mechanics, or they might update some stuff, add some things here and there. But honestly, we also keep running to the issue of the Switch. I mean, there's rumors next year is when we get a new Switch kind of upgrade, so like maybe they're saving something for that instead. Maybe there's a Legends game for that. I don't know, man, but I can't imagine it's gonna be big. Even it's just championships. It's not Pokemon Day. I think Pokemon Day is just
it's way bigger,
and the championships, I think that's just really reserved for, and if we think about it, it should be announcements surrounded by, like you said, EX Masters, probably, yeah, Unite, Pokemon Go, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, and the classic. Yeah, it says Pokemon Card Game Classic is actually on the map or on here.
Okay, so you're thinking tomorrow, no new, like no exciting news, just shit that we're probably like not gonna care about, like Pokemon Unite, Pokemon Masters X,
maybe
Pokemon
just
Cafe Mix or whatever.
Crossover events plus maybe like the DLC, like you said. Maybe we do get that teaser of Black and White, and if we're super lucky, I don't know what they have. And Unite will have a thing because Mewtwo Y is coming.
I would be surprised if they announce a remake or a new game tomorrow. I just don't. My hopes are so low. Yeah,
it's not what the event is about. It's also the first time that Worlds have been in Japan. Somehow they've never held it in their own country, but yeah, it's the first time it's been in Japan, and I can't imagine how on earth people are going to get into this venue.
Where is the venue? Which is it? It's in Yokohama, you said, but like where? Yokohama.
Where did I have this? Map of it.
Probably the Minato Mirai area, right? I'm guessing.
So it is the Pacifico Yokohama Convention Center, and
Minato Mirai, yeah.
Yeah, the actual location of all the activities that they have, it's actually around the city kind of level. I've got it up on stream right now, but yeah, this whole little block. What is it? The Akurenga, like the brick warehouse. All the way over to the park.
And, you mean Yamashita Koen, Yamashita Park?
This is the Rinko Park. I want to say Yamashita Park might be on here too.
No, well, for sure it's the Minato Mirai area. Akarenga, the red brick warehouse. Yamashita Koen is a little bit further south. That's not included. I can see that now.
Okay.
But it's definitely Yokohama Landmark Tower and Cosmo World and Winko Park.
A lot of different areas.
It's a nice area, by the way. If you guys if anyone watching this is going to be in Japan for that event, or you live in Japan, actually, it's a cool area to check out. I like it a lot. But
they will have pop up shops. That was really cool to know. They do have pop up shops that you can buy merch in. The only one that, of course, isn't that you need a reservation for will be the actual official World Center, the Poke Center World store.
Yeah.
But the rest of these, you can actually just, you know, find a place and go in and hopefully get some goods. There's photo spots. And then there's the little events, which I believe most of the events you do require a reservation. And, of course, what is this one? The Pokemon Trainer Cruise. You can actually go on that if you get there early enough.
Is that a boat?
It's a boat. What the heck is this thing?
What do you mean? Like, what is a cruise? Do you just go in Tokyo Bay or like?
A luxury cruise ship is coming to the port in Yokohama. Climb aboard the Nippon Maru for a Pokemon Trainer Cruise with special decorations. Pokemon trainers from all over the world are waiting to meet you, so bring your Nintendo Switch or Pokemon trading card game deck to enjoy some casual battles. The ship will remain docked during the event. No sailing will take place.
You know what was a fucking waste? Not calling it the SSN.
Oh no!
That was a waste.
I guess this is just what the actual boat is actually called. They can't.
It's actually called the Nippon Maru. But if they had just called it the SSN for this one event, that would have been the best.
They got a little lounge here. Yeah, it's just like you can just get on the cruise ship, but it's only for X amount of time and for X amount of people. Boarding time is limited to a maximum of 2 hours. Okay, so it's like 2 hours, then you get off, and then more people come. But first come, first serve basis. Oh, you need your My Number card. Or drivers, you must be Japanese.
So you have to be Japanese be on
passport.
That boat?
Okay, passport. You can have your passport. That's about it.
You don't even have your My Number card, though, right?
I have mine, yeah.
Insurance, but you also, have a passport, though. Oh, yeah, you give your card, so, yeah. You also have a passport. You could be like, I'm just a tourist, and you can just like give a passport.
Please help
right?
me. So it seems like just a nice little place to chill. And of course, Worlds, the actual venue. This is what I do want to go see Pokemon Unite Worlds. Uh-huh. But this actual venue is, it's also first come, first serve. Yeah, it's also first come, first serve. They have, this is where all the events are.
Are you going? Are you just going to wander the area? Or it's this weekend, right?
So it opens, the venue opens at 9 a.m.
Which means... You have to leave at like 6 in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, I should probably just sleep in Yokohama and don't go home.
Oh, that's like, smart. That's actually smart. All right,
that's probably the only way that even works is that I don't... Because this is a holiday weekend in Japan.
It is holiday weekend,
It's a holiday weekend. It's also leading into potential, you know, summer holidays. And it is summertime for kids right now. So
and it takes a long time to get to Yokohama.
Yokohama is by far one place I never like going to in terms of distance.
Because it's so far, right? Yeah.
There's no easy way to get there.
Yeah, you just go early, spend the night. Yeah.
That's the only real way. But this is one of those things where it only happens once, maybe in your lifetime. It's like the Olympics. I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know the next time I'll be here for Pokemon Unite, you know, or not Unite, but just Pokemon in general. Like, it's
because we don't know
in the host country, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Everybody's
that'd be cool.
Gonna be here.
I mean, if you're gonna go, I think that'd be a cool thing to document. If you want to like take some video, you could live stream it, maybe. Or
there's some photo spots out there as well.
Because I'm not going. I could, but I won't.
It's gonna be hot, but like you said,
it will be hot,
there may be some rain. And if you don't get on the inside, you're gonna be stuck on the outside.
I don't know what that means, but yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, man, you should go. That'd be fun.
I'll see. I'll try. My body is ready.
Do it for the YouTubes. Do it for the algorithm.
Do it for the algorithm.
Because so many people are gonna be typing in Pokemon Worlds, and you'll be there, man. Your video will be at the top of the search results.
Be at the top of the search results. So true. And then finally, just closing out really quickly. Evo 2023 happened.
Street Fighter.
Amazing. I've never been so happy and so like. Proud to be part of a community of Yeah, Street Fighter VI, an amazing finals. Run back between MinRD and then Angry Bird. So we had Ken versus Blanka slash Luke. And, you know, Blanka with some insane mix-ups, which honestly were freaking... Blanka mix-ups are just kind of stupid looking. But yeah, MinRD did reset the whole bracket in some clutch moments. And Punk'd was third for Street Fighter VI. But overall, Street Fighter VI with 7,000 combatants. 7,000 people. 7,000 people, yo. That's
yeah,
insane.
Definitely. I think the turnout for six was insane. I think it has to do with just how accessible the game is, actually.
We saw, so there were a couple of players. There was a Chun-Li player. I think it was Hikaru. So Hikaru was actually using modern controls.
Yeah.
And it was so amazing just to see, you know, an OG legend, apparently, you know, someone who's been competing in the game for 20 plus years, using modern controls, yeah. But the younger guy using the classic controls. But just, you know, like those one button supers, they have their advantages. The, you know, reaction time, there's things that, of course, they can play it on either way. It doesn't really matter for them. But seeing them actually use it and use it well, and I don't know, it was just, it added a whole nother dimension to it. And just seeing Street Fighter VI in this competitive category, or this level, like, holy crap. The game's got legs. Aki is the new character that they are showing, or that they did show off for the game. Just a cutscene. She's kind of like Fang, or I guess I want to say maybe like Fang's apprentice. She uses poison. She's really weird, a little freaky, but she'll be coming in the fall. She'll be coming in Aki. But yeah. This was officially the largest Evo ever, and also, as far as they could find, the largest esports event for participants held to date. So there may be Guinness Book World Records there. They also got the key to the city, to Las Vegas. The representative from the governor came out and gave them a key to the city, and... Also, I think it's either August 6th, I want to say. August 6th is Evo Day. Officially Evo Day in the U.S. And in the state of Nevada, probably only. But
probably because Nevada is like loves Evo because of the amount of money it brings in.
The money it brings in, yeah.
Yeah.
The money, the arena was like filled out this time. Like super filled out. And I don't know if there... Oh, yeah. And the other biggest announcement, of course, Evo Japan coming back from the 27th to the 29th of April next year. And then Evo itself, the main event is going to be back in July. I think it's like the last week or sometime in July, 27th or 22nd or something like that. And finally, yeah, another Evo somewhere in the world. We don't know where, but they're going to have Evo three times next year. Maybe it's Antarctica.
Crazy.
I don't know.
Wow. That's like a neutral nation, I think, or not nation, but yeah.
If you can make it out there, you can do it. Yeah, but it was awesome. Crowd got hype. If
when is CBS3 happening?
CBS3 not announced, not happening.
I'm Marvel, so sad, man.
NBC4 not announced, not happening.
I got an update though. I just want CBS3. I'm gonna play CBS2 on my PS2.
I mean, maybe one day, you know, who knows? Project L was at Evo and they did have like a whole day of just showing off Project L with pros playing it and people just getting their hands on it with the whole stream with Red Bull. And that was cool to see. So that's coming down the road. The new Fatal Fury that's going to be coming out. I forgot something of Wolves. It's not Garden.
Oh, City of Wolves, I think it's
called,
right?
City of Wolves, yeah. City of Wolves. That got a nice trailer, a teaser. We had some Mortal Kombat Reptile being shown off with some other characters. That was, gosh, they've been making great character reveal trailers.
And fucking Johnny.
Yeah. So
Guilty
much.
Gear.
Guilty Gear, Johnny. That was a good trailer. Leffen taking first place for Happy Chaos. Happy Chaos went first for Guilty Gear Strive. Anything else that was announced? Tekken 8 had a couple of new characters. We have a Coffee Girl character now.
Perfect.
I think that was kind of it though. Finals, unfortunately, a lot of mirror matches. Street Fighter 6 with the only non-mirror match. and a reset. There we go. So we are going to head on out because this has been a long one, and I guess I'll have to change the title to Final Fantasy Spoiler Cast.
Just like the final Final Fantasy.
The final maybe. Final Fantasy.
Until a DLC is announced or something like that.
No, now we start the hype cycle for 7 Remake Part 2 Rebirth. You know how it goes. It doesn't stop. Square made sure of that.
That's true. Exactly. When's that next? Early next year, right?
Yep, early next year sometime.
I'm still, before honestly, March. I'm actually just really looking forward to Super Mario RPG when that comes out. It's the one other excuse for me to dust off my Switch.
That's true. That's another reason we may not get some remakes because, Mario RPG, Mario Wonder.
It's not a long game. You've never played Super Mario RPG, right?
Yeah, but there's going to be a lot of people who are going to want to play it, you know?
Are you going to play
RPGs?
It?
No.
You're not going to play it.
I don't think I'm going to play it immediately.
Oh, okay.
I might opt to play Mario Wonder.
Oh, okay.
I have the Mario bug, so one of the two is going to... One of the two
Well,
will
they're
happen.
Very different games. One is clearly an RPG made by Square, but just with Mario characters in it, so... Are you going to stream? It's a very stream-friendly game, I would say, if you want to stream another RPG. It's not very long. It's only like 25 hours. Super, like... It's fine. I streamed it last year, and it's a fun game. There's not cutscenes to worry about, really. So,
that is true.
There are cutscenes. There are like story developments. Obviously, it's still an RPG, but it's just like it's a super lighthearted game. It's a Mario game, right?
It's a Mario game, so it's not. Yeah. It's not too crazy. So, who knows? Maybe I will. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. So, all right. Now we're just gonna go ahead and leave the stream. You know where you can follow us. You can follow my co-host Alex at Route24, RUTE24. That's on Twitter.
On Twitch.
Well, you're not Route24 on Twitter either? I thought you were.
No, I'm Nijiyon Bandoru on Twitter because someone took Route24, so I had to put it in Japanese. It's 24, and then it's BANDOORU. It's Route24, but in Japanese.
Follow him at Route24 on Twitch, then. You can follow me on Ninja Twister.
Yeah.
On Twitch. We're out of energy. I'm out of energy. We're just going to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to go find Jill. I'll find Jill. Honestly, Mifa of the game, Yote. That's Yote. Yote.
Okay.
Best girl of the game, Martha. No one can disagree.
Do you really have a Martha thing?
I don't know if I have a Martha thing, but I have Martha respect.
Like she's sassy, yeah.
Martha's on point.
Yeah. Sass.
Can't stop. Can't start Martha.
All right.
All right, everybody. Take it easy, and we will catch you next week for episode 176.
Yes. All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.